Well, a very good morning to all of you. Thank you. Happy New Year. Happy New Decade. Before I get into the meat of my sermon this morning, there are some introductions that are in order. But first, let me say this. Dwayne, did you actually think it was encouraging when you were talking about spending time in Trinidad and Tobago? You are sorely mistaken to think that that actually encouraged us. We have some people coming back from the Caribbean, more than one. We have some people coming back from the Philippines. We have people coming back from all over. We certainly want to welcome all of you back this morning. We're very, very excited. Some people from Africa, I mean, from all over the place. We're glad to have you back here with us, even as far as Hamilton. You know, I will be absolutely an imbecile for me to not make this announcement here this morning. We would certainly like to welcome and introduce and give a warm welcome to Guy and Laura Hammond. Please go on up and stand on up. Well, let me talk about them a little bit. You may wonder, who are these people? Why are they asking me to stand up? Actually, I've known Guy for a long time. We were together serving as ministers in the Toronto church many, many, many years ago. And for those of you who don't know, some of us are standing literally on the shoulders of Laura. Laura came here with her family 25 years ago to help plant the Ottawa church. It is so fantastic to see you here, Laura. And it is really, really great. I was talking to her the last time she was here, was 15 years ago. And we want to tell you that you would be in sin for you to wait another 15 years for you to come back, okay? We're calling you out on that right now, all right? Well, we certainly would like to welcome you guys. We're grateful for the way that you serve God. And we're grateful for the way that you have served God in this fellowship, and welcome with the sincerest parts of our hearts. Amen. And I would be also remiss. We are so grateful to have Sean and Joyce with us here. We don't know for how long, but I am personally incredibly grateful for them. We have them for free. Sean and Joy serve as an evangelist and women's ministry leader in the kingdom of God, and we get to have them serve here in the Ottawa church at no cost to us. I like that deal. I like that deal. What? What did you say? Maybe. All right. Maybe. But we're so grateful we're going to be planning together how we're going to have them use their enormous set of skills and their hearts to help us here in the Ottawa Church. And we're grateful for that. And they are remotely serving other ministries in our fellowship. But thank you so much for being here. We are eternally grateful, and many people's lives will be impacted. We'll talk a little bit about that here this morning. It's a new decade. By the way, someone said it was, I think it was Sean, who said there was debate. There's no debate. I mean, if you want to have a debate, you're a crazy person. But this is a new decade. Think about where you were 10 years ago. 2010, I was in Boston, Massachusetts. 10 years before that, I was serving in a ministry in Toronto. A decade makes a lot of a difference. You think about where you were 2020. Or maybe for that fact, think about where you were a year ago. A year ago, we had just moved here, and we were lied to. We were told that it doesn't snow in Ottawa, it doesn't get cold in Ottawa. Andrea's getting defensive. I did not say that, though. Of course, but to think about what God has done in 1 year is simply mind-boggling. But one of the things that I wanted to do this morning is to have a talk. Have a talk with us. And I don't know exactly what your year was like, or even what your decade was like, or even what your Christmas holidays was like. Sure. Ours was relatively quiet, which we like. And then something happened that always helps to calcify and clarify important things in your life. On January 1, I got a call from one of my very best friends and said, my father passed away. It was a surprise. Like I shared last year, the season that we happen to be in our lives is that our friends' children are getting married, our children are getting married, and our friends' parents are dying. And so immediately I, of course, got in the car and I drove to Toronto just to be with him and his family. And it was, of course, incredibly challenging. And so even that in that short period of time, we have times of celebration, times of reflection, and times of mourning. And all these things happen in our lives. We ask, what is it all about? And I want to talk about that for a moment. You know, why did I change my schedule when I got a call and drove a few hours? Because I believe that I could make a difference. I believe if I were to be there, somehow, somewhere, that I could make a difference. That I could have an impact. Subsequently, we happened to be incredible friends with the tours, and so I sat down with the family, with Rav and his wife, Sinead, and his sister, Rita, and their two children, Livy and Sam. We started talking, and of course, as you can probably imagine, tears were flowing. And they felt so grateful that we could talk about the Lord, for all of us who were there were baptized into Christ. And yet that does not mean that the pain is any less. But the fact remains that the reason I would do something like that, and I believe without a shadow of a doubt why you would do something like that, is because you believe you can make a difference. As a matter of fact, not one of us in this room, if suddenly you were to get a phone call right now, and someone says to you, I need some help, and you believe in your heart that you could actually help, you would get up and you would go, even if it costs you money, time, energy, and even if it interrupts you worshiping God. You believe that that's what you would. Why? Because you believe you could make a difference. There's none of us in this room that, if asked or are convinced that we could actually help someone, that we would not do it. If we really believe it. Right. Not if we hope this would help. And maybe that's how a lot of us, certainly that's how I react in my life. Hey, am I going to make a difference? It's why sometimes I want to stay in bed, because it's not going to make a difference. Right. It's why I do some things. It's because I don't know if it's going to make a difference. But here is my goal for us this morning. It's one goal. That you are convinced, maybe with some shadow of a doubt, which is okay, that God wants to use you to make a difference in somebody's life. I know we got the platitude of yes, 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 yes. Now let me say it again. That you believe beyond a, well, maybe not beyond, with maybe a shadow of a doubt, that God wants to use you to impact in a very, very real way someone's life this year. Amen. Now, we'll unpack this in the upcoming weeks. There are immediate impacts we can have, and then there are ripple effect impacts that we can have. Right? There are times, and you and I, if you're anything like me, I am much more drawn to something that I can have an immediate impact on, that I can see it tangibly, and I can feel it. And if we feel, sometimes it's what we give our monies to. Hey, I'm going to give, because I know it's going to have an impact, but sometimes the ripple effect impact, in other words, when something has an impact on something that has an impact on something that has an impact on something, and eventually leads to a significant impact, we often have difficulty seeing that, and we're less prone to give our time, our energy, and our talents to those things. Prayerfully, in the next few weeks, as we unveil that, that we will be people who are enlightened and actually see that both are equally important. I'll give you an example. There are some times that someone comes to our worship service and somebody is really impacted by maybe the singing or maybe the message or maybe the fellowship. And yet there's some people who look at the way people interact, maybe people from different ages, maybe people from different races, maybe people who are just so different, yet they're embracing each other, and you did not actually do that so that they can be impacted, but there's a ripple effect. It settles in someone's mind. They come back again, is this real? They come back again, is this really real? And then they realize, and they turn themselves in and say, I want to start understanding more about this God that you serve. And sometimes that ripple effect is a week later, sometimes it's a month later, sometimes it's years later. In Ephesians chapter 2, we'll talk about this for a little bit. It says this in verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you follow the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. We'll read all the way until verse 10. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For here it is. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Paul lays out here that who we are in God, that we've only been saved by because of God's mercy and his grace. And of course, we cover that for the past few weeks, how exactly that works and with his grace and his mercy. He says he does it so that none of us can say, I am more awesome than you. How great I art is not what the song says, right? It's how great you are. But then he makes a statement. He says, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And get this, which God prepared for us to do. You know, when I got together with my friend Nick a few months ago, actually a number of months ago, Nick said to me after we got together the first time, Nick says, Tony, I'm thinking about, and his words, was my legacy. What kind of impact am I going to have? We started talking about that. And it actually helped him to make some decisions spiritually in his life. When we think about what mark am I going to leave? So I want to help you to understand this morning that it's not simply so that we can get stuff done in the church. I don't want to rock your world, and I don't want to rock my world, but this church will go on without you and without me. It's hard to believe, but it's true. We get to be a part of this. That God has in mind something for you. But I know what happens in our hearts and our minds with this. Who, me? Yes, you. Can't be. Well, it's who? Well, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's all right. It's what Gideon said. Not me. You've got the wrong person. I'm from the wrong family. I'm the weakest one in my family. You've got the wrong person. And I know what you're thinking, and I know what I think, because there are times I think like that. Who, me? Do you know what I'm really like? Do you know in the deep recesses of my heart what struggles I have? Or like Jonah. Jonah was so unwilling. He ran the other way that God called him. And he tried to run away and thought if he got in a boat, he would really run away. And then the people just kicked him out. And then he got swallowed by a big fish. And he thought, boy, I'm finally away. Or when Ezekiel was called, he went by the Kibar River and he was overwhelmed. Or when Nehemiah was called and he said, only if you give me the horses and the logs. And you can see, or with Jeremiah, oh, not me. And man after man after man, there are times because we see our inadequacies and we ask ourselves the question, are you sure? And therefore, I can't be that person. And sometimes we even doubt the veracity of God in his wisdom to choose you or to choose me to do something. And its credibility, if you would, sometimes is in question because are you really wanting me to do your bidding? I don't understand the entire complexity of it, but I know this. It is absolutely humbling to realize that God wants you and wants me to be a part of his work. And he says, by the way, I created this work in advance, and I'm setting it up so that you don't need any qualifications, because I have provided all the grace and all the mercy to undo all the stuff you have been done. so that you don't start boasting about what you have done. And so this morning, part of my challenge is to convince you that God wants to use you to really have an impact. I think it's a lot of people in this world who don't really realize that I have a real purpose and go and search for other things in their lives. And you'll ask the question, why does someone give up such a relationship to go and pursue a relationship with someone who is not nearly as good as this person? But it's not the relationship or the person, it's the emptiness. I mean, anyone in their right minds a few years ago, when Tiger Woods appeared to have it all, and then his life, and you realize all the reality and the things that he was going after. So you ask the question, what is wrong with him? And believe me, I'm a big Tiger Woods fan. His golfing abilities. Or you see, when presidents make decisions to go after other people, and you realize they could have anyone in the world they wanted, and they chose a young person. And you realize that there is an emptiness. And that's why when God called, when Jesus called the first disciples, he didn't say, come, follow me, and I will give you eternal life. That's not what he said. That was not what he said that is going to make them feel useful. He says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I am going to give you a purpose for which you live. Most very wealthy people in the world, most, when they realize they have gotten it all, realize it really isn't all at all. And now finds and looks for a way, and in their minds, a meaningful way to give it away. Because there is a hole in us. There is a hole can only be filled with the purpose of God in our lives. And the more we quest and we run after that thing, be it money, be it a relationship, be it education, that it is the only thing that God can make whole. Here's the amazing part about challenges that we may have had in 2019. It is God's workmanship that the Bible tells us that he uses our agonies to ultimately display his mercy. Think about that for a second. That even our agonies can be used so that God's mercy can be displayed. And so, what's the point of all of this? Can we really make a difference? Because sometimes what happens, we look and we say, there's so much change that needs to happen. Can we make a difference? Can I make a difference? I'm sure you heard the story, but I'll tell it because it seems to be appropriate here. There's a story about a man and his little boy walking on the seashore. And they see literally a whole bunch of starfish washed up on the shores. And they're struggling to get back into the water. And the little boy says to his father, aren't we going to do something about all these thousands of starfish or tens of, like,
Aren't we going to put them back in the water so that they can survive? And the father says to the boy, what difference? There's nobody else here. What difference can we make? I mean, look, there are tens of thousands of them. And even by the time we get to them, they might die anyways. Really, we're not going to be able to make a difference. And the little boy picks up a starfish, and he looks at it, and he flings it back into the water. And he says, made a difference to that one. And so sometimes we get paralyzed with the enormity of the challenge that lies before us. And yet, God calls us for us to play our part. Because sometimes the challenge that lies before us is believing that we can actually make a difference. And yet the challenge for us is to embrace this reality. And sometimes, like I said, there is an immediate impact, and sometimes there's a ripple effect impact. And I want to tell this story based on history, also that helps us to understand maybe the ripple effect impact. Can you imagine having a discussion with one of the emperors in the Roman time? First century. Which one you want to have a discussion with? Okay, Domitian. Okay, who was reputed to be one of incredible ruthlessness. As a matter of fact, under his brother and under his father, they built the Colosseum. The Colosseum had seats of between 50 and 75,000 people. Imagine in that time. That they will make sport of people. They'll watch people kill each other. Sometimes it was so big, apparently, that literally in the Colosseum, they could have a game with enough water and the Navy fighting against each other just for sport. Or at other times, what they did, they burned Christians and crucified Christians and killed Christians right there in the Colosseum for sport. Some estimated between 500,000 and a million Christians were killed and martyred there in the Colosseum. But imagine having a conversation with Domitian, and you're saying, he says, hey, I hear you're from Ottawa in 2020. And he says, hey, tell me what it's like in Ottawa in 2020. He says, well, Mr. Emperor, your most excellent one, a lot of changes has happened. As a matter of fact, you know that little Jew that was giving you some problems? And that you guys crucified? I want to tell you right now, there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people who have embraced his philosophy and are meeting in caves and people's houses. And I know there are people who appear to be useless. But that guy who just merely 50 years ago, that you thought you killed, and he was done away with? I got to tell you, Domitian, right here where you're standing, the instrument that you used to kill him, they're now revering that instrument. That instrument that you use on which he died stands a huge wooden one right now where you stand. The people revere. This guy that you thought you got rid of has been single, the single most impactful man in all of history. As a matter of fact, time is measured by him. I know it sounds crazy, but it's true. The 12 that became 11, that went back to 12, fishermen and other tax collectors and the refuses of the earth were used to talk about this carpenter and this carpenter's son. I know that might rock your world. Time really changes. And by the way, this place that looks so amazing, it's just in ruins right now. And it just happens to be a tourist attraction. As a matter of fact, good news, Domitian. This is the most visited tourist attraction in the world. Last year alone, 8 million people came just to see this place. So that's good news. But I got to tell you, that which we stand in right now does not last forever. As a matter of fact, these people that you try to get rid of, who literally went about sharing about this carpenter, now literally, without lifting a sword or an army, change the entire political, economic, but more important, moral structure of this empire. Honey. Probably would laugh, and he says, you're a good storyteller. Because that's really funny. That's really funny. That's insane. Like, are you like an insane person or something like that? How do you know what God will use your life to do this year? There are almost half of us who were not here last year, at the beginning of last year. But can you imagine? Can you imagine what God will do and can do with you? And I don't know exactly what this impact is going to be like. Like I said, it's one of two ways, or maybe there are other ways, but there are two ways that my limited mind could do, is either an immediate impact or a ripple effect impact. Maybe somebody that you say is going through an incredibly tough situation, and I want to have a real tangible impact on their lives. Or maybe it's somebody who's in an abusive situation and they're living with a dark secret that they're afraid to trust anybody with it. And you become that person that has so won their hearts over and are able to rescue them. Right. Maybe it's a child who's being abused by some relative or, God forbid, some parent. Me sexually or emotionally. It is stunning. It's my Rock Your World. It would not be weird to say that 25 to 30% of the people in this room, women and some men, have been sexually molested. that we don't know about because they're afraid to share about it because they're going to think that it's their fault or somebody's not going to believe them. And you can be that person. You know somebody who is materially in need. And you can really make a difference. You know, we got this overwhelming letter that says there are 20,000 families that are not going to have a Christmas dinner in the Ottawa area. What? The most educated and one of the highest median income in the entire nation, in one of the greatest, if not the greatest country in the world? And it was overwhelming. But we said, we'll do something. We'll try and make a difference in 22 families. And hopefully it'll be more in the future. But it could have been overwhelming and say, you know what? Why even try? Or maybe it's changing someone's eternal destiny. Where they spend eternity. And that became even more real as my friend's father passed away. And to realize his eternity and destiny has been sealed. We'll talk about how to have this impact. We'll talk about ways we can go about and to have the immediate impact and the ripple effect impact. We'll unpack those. But what I want to do this morning is just one thing, by the grace of God, to convince you that God has in mind to use you to truly have an impact. This year, even on one person's life. And you might, come on. No, I'm not talking about buying a pack of gum for someone. I mean, if that was life-saving, amen, that, good for you. Awesome, great. But the idea is that we truly, truly have an impact. I don't know if it's going to be the story that someone tells. This year, we're going to celebrate our 25th year in the Ottawa Church. We'll have a celebration in September. We'll have a 25th celebration. We'll have a grand party. We'll talk about what God has done and what he will do in the next few years. Amen. And I don't know, but I want to be, and I'm sure you want to be, a vessel that are ready to be used in this manner. Can you imagine? We can't even fit in this room anymore. And a number of us aren't here because we're sick and we got to get out of this place. I mean, we like the place and everything, but you know, we got to get out of here. But I don't know. At our Christmas banquet, the first time we went there, we couldn't fit any more people in the room. There were over 200 people that came to her Christmas banquet. Let me tell you something. There are people that are yearning to be impacted, and there are people that are yearning to impact others. We are not going to be, we're not made, you know that, because you know for a fact that that's what you would do. That's how we were made, to want to make a difference. We are not made to simply hoard. You may know the story about the Dead Sea. But I'll tell it in this context. The Dead Sea is where a lot of rivers actually flow into, and a lot of the nutrients from a lot of these rivers go into the Dead Sea. It is actually filled, it is amazingly filled of nutritional value to the point where fish can't live in it because it's too many nutrients. The amazing thing about Christianity, if we think it's about God giving me all and we are not a conduit to it, we become dead like the Dead Sea as well. If we are not a conduit that God uses, we're not, Christianity is not a cul-de-sac where everybody comes in and there's no exit. We're a thoroughfare. That you come in, you get cleansed, you get washed up, and you head on out and you become a conduit for whatever that means. And God helps us to understand that by giving us certain gifts to use. It was sad when I was a young man. My goal in life was, by the age of 25, when I was about 18 years old, I'll be a millionaire and I'll drive a Mercedes-Benz and then do whatever I want. It's embarrassing to share that and to realize, oh my gosh, how empty and sad. And yet there's some of us in this life who really want to have an impact but don't know how to do it. And Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, and I will show you. I mean, there are concepts throughout the scriptures that talks about this. Jesus says that if a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it produces many seeds. The whole idea is that we are meant to multiply and to have an impact wherever we are. It's not meant so that we simply become whatever we want to be. And that's what I've talked about in the church, is that we are a missional church. This is a church that is meant to have impact on people's lives. And it's not meant for us simply to come here and sing songs on Sundays and hopefully get a nice, tight, nice warm hug and we go on to our merry way and not have any impact. But we want to have an impact on this city. We want to be part of that tapestry of Christianity that is making an impact on this city. But you know how we do that? But each and every one of us having a vision that indeed that's God's purpose in my life. Not my purpose. It's not my purpose for you. But God knows how we function. And so this morning, that's why the Bible says over and over and over and over again that it's God's will for our lives, that he looks upon the earth and he says, who will stand in the gap between the living and the dead? His eyes goes to and fro over the earth for a heart that is wholly dedicated to him. What he's looking for. I don't understand why he uses us, dust, mud, sinners. Is it to display his glory and how awesome he is? Maybe it is. And so I ask you this morning, do you believe what it says in Ephesians 2:10 that God, we are God's handiwork? Obviously, he spent more time on others. Oh, sorry, that was wicked. That was not good. But the idea is, of course, is that God says, you are his handiwork for a purpose to do his good works. Now, if you do something for someone that's important, you feel, wow, I actually helped you? That's pretty cool. I mean, I actually had an impact. Like with my parents, I don't know what to buy them for gifts. I don't know. But when I give them something that they actually like, fires me up. It's awesome.
Can you imagine that we actually do something that God is pleased with? And he says, that makes a difference. And whatever world you live in today, and I don't care if you choose to be a part of this family to make an impact. That's not my goal here today. My goal is for you to make a decision that wherever you do and wherever you go, that God wants to use you to have an impact on one person's soul. Just one. And so what does that mean practically for us? That means this, that we're going to live with intentionality. Right. With intention. That there's a purpose to why I do the things that I do. If you're anything like me, there are times we're going to fall and stumble. Sure we are. But the whole idea is that we live, as the scripture in the book of Ecclesiastes says, with the end in mind. What are we trying to accomplish? Therefore, we're living with that mindset. Live with intention. Out of anybody in this world, we ought to be those people that live our lives with intentionality. Or we live intentionally. That it's not happenstance. Because God has prepared for us to do good works. And so in the next few weeks, we're going to unpack this. But how are we going to do this? But first, I want to be a vessel in which God uses to put a burden on your heart. Is it in your school? Is it in your workplace? Is it in your neighborhood? It is in your family. Is it the club that you're a part of? Is it the neighborhood that you have been put in? That we change a mindset, oh, I'm not living here because the rent is good. Or because simply because the school seems to be a great place. Or I can afford this area. But no, it is with intention. And that's why in April, for 4 consecutive weeks, we're going to meet in 4 different parts of the city. By the way, I misspoke, not Ottawa. We're already meeting here. We're going to meet in Kanata, we're going to meet in Gatineau, we're going to meet in Orleans, and we're going to meet in Gloucester. We're in different parts of the cities. We're going to have a vision of what it's going to be as everybody's going to go 1 week ahead and everybody the following week, and we're going to capture a vision of what God wants to do in these communities. With us, yes, little old us. What's it going to be a year from now with that person that you impact? And so as we embark on the new year, as we embark on the new decade, I pray that God is already working on you to say without a doubt that you are his handiwork and he has prepared some works for you to do. And then at the end of it all, we're going to hear the words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Do you not want to hear those words? Do you not want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant, for you did exactly what I prepared in advance for you to do. And even the agonies that you're going through, it's going to be used to magnify my mercy. I got it covered. Don't worry about it. Let us pray. Our God in heaven, we're just absolutely humbled by the fact that you would choose us. Oh, Father in heaven, we are but dust and we're sinners and we are falling so short and we're so inept in so many areas. But Father, we know because of your promises that you have never made a mistake. You've never had to say, I'm sorry. And Father, as we've seen over and over again, that your Son and his will and your mission will be accomplished. Father, we humbly ask you that we want to be part of
that mission. Prepare us, because Father, so badly do we want to hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I pray, Father, even now that you're putting on my heart, on all of our hearts, even that person you're already forming them in our minds who we can impact. Or maybe there's someone that you're forming and you're preparing their hearts that we can truly impact as we embark on 2020. Thank you for your son. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you that you allowed us to respond to your grace and your mercy. Father, above all, we're thankful that our names are written in the book of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.